Genesis chapter 27. And the title of the message this morning is The Blessing in Disguise. The Blessing in Disguise. And we have here the deception of Rebekah and Jacob in disguising Jacob as Esau in order to receive the blessing. Now, we have here the history of this deception written in Holy Scripture. The deception of Rebekah and Isaac, the deception of Rebekah and Jacob to steal the blessing that belonged to the firstborn, to Esau. Now remember, before these two children were born, Rebekah was given a covenant promise of God that according to this sovereign election of God, God said, I have loved Jacob and hated Esau. This is it. Go back to Genesis 25 and read this with me. In verse 23, the Lord said unto Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other. And listen, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now we know this speaks of the election of God even because the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 reveals this. Go over to Romans chapter 9 and see this. The Apostle Paul uses this very scripture to prove the election of God. The sovereign election of God. Romans chapter 9. And verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So in these two men are two peoples, two distinct and separate peoples. Those chosen and loved of God from eternity, and those who are hated of God and left to themselves. Now Jacob pictures to us the whole church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. These are the saints of God, the sheep of Christ, given to him by the Father. It was for these elect people that Christ came into the world. It was for Jacob, for his church, for his people, he came to give his life a ransom. It was for them alone he died and rose again, and it is for them alone the Spirit of God comes and quickens to life and faith in Christ. Only for the elect. You not see that Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he was destined for victory. The scripture says in Isaiah 42, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. These people, like Jacob, will have an interest in Christ. Now, as Jacob, he desired, you could read this account all the way through, Jacob had an interest in the birthright. In the birthright. You remember the birthright was that in Abraham was given the promise that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac, or through the seed of Isaac, should Christ come. And so Jacob was taught this from his youth, that Christ should come by the seed of Isaac. But now then, look, there were two that came from the seed of Isaac. So which one? God said the younger will be the one. God chose Jacob. And so Jacob had an interest in the birthright. And listen, only the elect will have an interest in Christ. Only the elect will have an interest in Christ. But Esau, he pictures the other half. He pictures all those men not chosen of God, but left to their own lusts and desires, which by nature are sinful and rebellious. You know, Scripture says this about man. He said, the Scripture says that the carnal mind is enmity, is hatred against God. And here's the proof. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. No matter how hard you try, you can never and you do not desire to obey the law of God. That's natural. That's natural for all of us. No man by nature desires to obey God. Not one of us. The Scripture says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. Is this word foolish to you? Well, that's just because you're natural. It's natural for this word to be foolish. And you know what? No matter how hard you try, you cannot receive this word except God give it to you. You can't. You can't receive it because you're spiritually judged, condemned. As Esau was a man of the earth, a man who despised his birthright, even so men by nature, evil men of perdition, despise the gospel of Christ. These wicked men, God has given the law into their hearts. You know what? Everybody in here has the law of God written in his hearts. You know how you know that? Because when you do evil, your conscience bothers you. Isn't that evident? Look around you. God has given this world as proof of His power and His majesty and His deity, so that every one of us is without excuse. You have no excuse. God's given His law to you. God's given to you His a picture of His power and deity. And yet because you are spiritually dead, you will not and cannot come to God by Christ. Therefore, for these wicked men that God hates, when God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You know what God does to everyone He hates? He leaves you alone. Gives you what you want. You know what you want by nature? You don't want God. And you know what? All He has to do is just give you what you want. If God hates you, you'll die in your sins. And you know what? You're willing to go to hell. You want to go there because you don't want anything to do with God. And listen, if God had not made an election of grace, if God had not chosen some to save, none of us would be saved. Isaiah tells us that. He said, if God had not left a remnant, we should all be as Sodom and Gomorrah. We'd all be like that. That's what we are by nature. So Jacob, in this book, in this type, is a picture of the elect of God. He is a picture of the chosen of God, the loved of God. Those who receive the birthright and the blessing of God. And yet notice, this was promised to Rebekah, as I just read to you, that the elder shall serve the younger. But I want you to see that everything, every experience went against the promise. Every experience went against the promise. Look at chapter 25 and verse 28. She had the children, they started growing, and look what happens. And Isaac loved who? Esau. He loved Esau. Why? Because he did eat the venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, Isaac knew of this promise. Isaac knew that the elder should serve the younger. And yet, listen, Isaac rebelled against God and loved Esau more than Jacob. He did it for his own appetite. Because Esau could give him the venison he loved Esau and rejected God's purpose. And we see this in our text most clearly, that when he was about to die, who was he determined to bless? Even at his deathbed, Isaac was still rebellious against God's purpose, and he was determined to bless Esau. He was determined to do it. Therefore, Rebekah, in love for Jacob, was in league with him to help fulfill God's promise. Now, Jacob, in verses 29 through 34, he buys the birthright. He buys it for a bowl of soup. In other words, you see how much Esau hated Christ. Esau hated Christ and had birthright so much that he would rather have a bowl of soup than to have Christ. And therefore, again, now Rebekah, just like Jacob, is trying to help God fulfill His promise. She starts planning. She hears that He's going to bless Esau, and what does she do? She goes and makes a deceptive plan in order to help God. She tries to help God out. And so she gets Jacob involved in this plan, and they say, well, okay, well, let's make this soup out of some goats and we'll cover you up to look like Esau so you get the blessing. I pray God teach us this. If you're a believer in Christ, listen to this. God don't need your help. Matter of fact, they did this and truly God blessed it. God did bless it. But I promise this, they suffered because of it. After this, Jacob had to run for his life. Rebekah never saw her son again this side of heaven. And Jacob had to work for that wicked man Laban for 20 years, married a wife that he didn't even love. Why? Because of his deception. So God did not excuse their sin, even though He used it. He didn't excuse it. I know many believers who sin openly against God and say, well, you know, I'm doing it for God. Liar. That's just all you can say. That's a liar. If you're in open rebellion against God, you're doing it for yourself. And I tell you, God may in spite of you bless it, but you're not going to escape the consequence of it. So don't think that you will. They didn't escape the consequence of this, even though God used it. And I'm going to show you how God uses it. Okay? God uses this as a picture of how He saves His people. This deception is a picture of how God saves His people. Now Jacob, by birth, being the second born, had no right to the blessing. By nature, he had no right to the blessing. He was the second born. Only the firstborn had a right to the blessing. Listen, is that not a picture of us? By nature, we have no right to the blessing. We have no right to the blessing of God. By nature, we have no right. But when Jacob, what Jacob did in this deception, God does in true holiness for His elect people. God is pictured to us by Isaac in this, who desires upon his death the appetite of venison. Look at that. Go to that first verse there. And Isaac's old and he's blind and he tells his son to go on out and kill the venison. He said, take your bow, take your weapons, and go out to the field and get me that deer meat that I love so much and bring it to me, and then I'll bless you. Listen, even so does God, before the blessing, require that his justice be satisfied. Nothing can satisfy the justice of God but the death of the guilty. Nothing. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Sinners see that God's justice and anger are slow, but they're sure. They're sure. God, who is holy, cannot and will not excuse sin. I want to make that very plain. God will not excuse sin. God cannot excuse sin. God is holy. And I'll tell you this, as Isaac sent out his eldest son to kill that unclean animal, I tell you this, God will one day send out his son to take vengeance on his enemies. One day Jesus Christ will come again. And when he comes again, he won't come in mercy. He'll come in vengeance. He'll come in judgment. And God will destroy all of his enemies. I remember that verse in Revelation, I think it's 6. It says that they hid themselves from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. They hid themselves. It is Christ, the Lamb of God, who will come the second time in holy vengeance. And yet this message of justice, when I tell you God will come in vengeance, you know what that message will do? Without the Holy Spirit, it'll do nothing. Threat of punishment, because it is slow to be executed, only hardens sinners. You know that? That's what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It said that because the evil sentence is not executed speedily, therefore, the hearts of men are fully set to do evil. But listen, I'm like a watchman, and I'm here to just tell you the warning. I want my hands to be clean of your blood. Listen to me, God is coming in holy vengeance against sin. And he will punish every guilty sinner. The arrows of God are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The sword of God's justice is sharp and ready to fall on all who have not fled to Christ for refuge. But seeing Jacob was also a sinner like Esau, seeing all the elect are sinners as well as all of those that are not, where then is the hope? Scriptures are clear, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one. Isaiah said this, he said, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head are nothing but wounds and bruises and pussy sores. He said, that's all you are by nature, is full of sin, full of sin. How then should Jacob, the deceiver, the sinner, receive the blessing? How shall the elect, who by nature are sinners, be accepted with God? Well, herein is the gospel. Look at this. And Rebekah, she told Jacob this. And then in verse 8, she says, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Here's the gospel. Here's how it is that Jacob should be blessed. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats. And I will make the savory meat for thy father such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Behold, here is the picture in these two goats of both the death and the righteousness of Christ. The death and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The first goat was killed to make the savory meat to satisfy Isaac. Even so, the only thing that satisfies the justice of God for the sins of Jacob is the death of Jesus Christ. This is the only thing God will accept, is the death of His Son. I'll tell you this. I have no desire to approach God in my own righteousness. I have no desire to take my sacrifices and good works and try to bring them to God. Because all they deserve is hell. Except our sins be paid, except God's justice be satisfied with the offering of Christ, we cannot be accepted of God. Therefore, for Jacob, for his elect, Christ was taken from among the flock. He was made flesh. He was taken from among men because by man sin came. Even so, by man must sin be punished. Must righteousness come. And Jesus Christ was made flesh by the will of the Father. Why did the Son of God become flesh? Why was that necessary? Because God could not die. He must be made a man so that He could die in the place of sinners. In the stead, in the room of sinners. Behold, Christ was made of a woman, the Scripture said, made under the curse of the law, made under the law, that He should redeem us from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse. By being made a curse for us. By bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. When Christ died, He didn't die as a normal death. Matter of fact, He died a supernatural death in that He bare our iniquities and suffered under the vengeance of God. It was not the nails that caused His pain. It was the vengeance of God upon His very soul for our sins. He suffered, He bled, He died so that the justice of God should be satisfied. Therefore, because He was taken from among men, He is a faithful high priest that offered Himself to God without spot and without blemish in the stead of His people. Now notice Jacob's objection to this. In verse 11, Jacob, he said this, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. If my father feel me, and I shall seem to be to him as a deceiver, and I shall be a curse upon him and not a blessing." Jacob says, you know, there's a difference between me and him. How is the death of this animal going to satisfy God? How is the death of Christ going to satisfy God? I'm guilty. How is it possible? How can I, a deceiver, a sinner, a rebel, be accepted by the sacrifice of another? How can the unjust, the guilty, be justified and accepted? Notice the answer Rebecca gives. She says in verse 13, "Upon me be thy curse, my son." Do you not see these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to every sinner who comes to Him guilty? He says, "I bore the curse." Yes, you are a sinner. You are a deceiver, yet I bore that in my own body on the tree. I was made a curse. See that God is not unjust to pardon His people, even because sin has been paid. In fact, justice is satisfied. You know, most people think that God loves at the expense of His justice. That God somehow sets aside His justice, He puts it over here, and He doesn't look at it, and He says, oh, I just love you. I just love you unconditionally without any merit. No. God never sets aside His justice for His mercy. You and I do that all the time. We're offended, and yet we can say, I can love you anyway. God's not like you and me. God, in order to have mercy, justice first must be satisfied. And I tell you, the only reason He can have mercy is because justice was satisfied. When Jesus Christ died, He said, "It is finished." God satisfied. Scripture says, "By His one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." By His one offering, He put away sin forever. By the sacrifice of Himself. But there is a difference. See, then there's a difference. Jacob said, my brother's a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. And I tell you this, there is a difference between us and Christ, isn't there? To be a smooth man in our day, I guess people like that. That's a good thing. You know, people like the smooth. Back in this day, it was a shame. If a man didn't have a beard, he was really ashamed to not have one. It was a symbol of authority. It was a symbol of reverence to have hair. And so in this, Jacob is a picture saying, look, Christ is full of righteousness. But I myself am full of sin and shame. And this is what the second goat was for. The second goat was to picture the imputed and imparted righteousness of Christ. Look at this. In verse 14, he went and fetched it, and he brought the kids, the goats, and she made the meat, and Rebekah took the goodly raiment of Esau that was in the house and put it on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hand and his neck. She skinned that goat and put it on his hands so he would feel like his eldest brother. So when he went in and Jacob said to come here, let me touch you, when he touched, he would feel the hair like his eldest brother. And so in order for Jacob to be blessed, he must be as his eldest brother. And so Jacob goes in to his father in verse 17. He goes in, and his father asked, who are you? And he said, I'm Esau. I've done what you told me to do. I made this suit for you. Now bless me. Sinner, let us see that we, if we should ever be loved and blessed and accepted of God, you must be as righteous as your eldest brother. You must be as righteous as Christ. You must, His righteousness must be your own righteousness. You see, Jesus was not a sacrifice in general, but rather a specific sacrifice. That goat was not sacrificed for anybody else but Jacob. That goat was not placed on anyone's skin except Jacob's skin. And I tell you, Jesus Christ, when He died for His people, and His righteousness is specifically for them. It is there to cover their sins. He is their representative man. Therefore, all He has done for us in the flesh is accounted by God as our own. all of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness is ours. Because He was my representative man, everything He did became mine. It was mine. Every good action, every good thought, every righteous deed He performed is my righteous deed in the eyes of God. You know, in Jeremiah 23, you know what the Lord's name is called? The Lord, His name, shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And in Jeremiah 33, we read what the church is called. And her name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. You see, we have the same name as His, even because we have the same righteousness as His. You see, I, as Jacob, only desire to be found in the very skin of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob's answer to his father was this. His father said, "How did you do this?" He said, "How did you do this so quickly, my son?" In verse 20, and this is my answer, is the same as Jacob's. Believer's answer is the same as Jacob's. Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. How in the world can you and I claim to be as righteous as the Son of God? I'll tell you how. The Lord thy God brought it to me. He gave it to me. He imputed it to me. And He imparted it to me in the new nature. Behold, this is the experience of grace in every child of God. We did not seek God. He sought us. He found us in the wilderness of our sins, and the Holy Spirit in power gave us a new heart to see our sin and need of Christ. I tell you, if you ever see your need of Christ because the Holy Spirit gave you it, if you ever believe in Christ, listen to this. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God has already chose His people from before the foundation of the world. Christ has already died for those people. And yet the Scriptures are just as clear. You are responsible to believe on the Son of God. Now, if you don't believe on the Son of God, that's your fault. And you'll die in your sins. But if you ever believe on the Son of God, that's God's fault. If you ever believe on the Son of God, it's because God brought faith to you. God gave it to you. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Who among the sons of God have any room to boast? Who? Who maketh thee to differ from another? Or what hast thou hast not received? And if you've received it, why do you boast as though you haven't? There's no boasting here. I am made in the very image of Christ because God willed it so. And there's no other reason. There's no other reason. And in verse 21, look at this. He said, "Draw near." Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near. I pray thee that I may feel thee, my son, whether or not you are my very son, Esau." Listen, God cannot and will not bless a fake son. Now, you can fake being a son of God all you want to. God's not fooled. Okay? You may fool me or somebody else, but you won't fool Him. He won't bless a fake son. For God only desires and is pleased with those who are in His Son. If you are His Son, indeed, you must be in His Son. You must be in union with Christ. Jesus, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom," not with whom, "in whom I am well pleased." And I tell you, if you are ever pleasing to God, you must be in Christ in order to be pleasing to God. See that all who believe on Christ are in Christ. He is the head and we are His body. That's how much in union I am with the Son of God. We are one in Him. And therefore, we who come to God, we who are drawn of God, seek only to be found and robed in His righteousness. I don't want to appear before God in any other way. Do you? How will you appear before God? In whose righteousness shall you appear before God? Make no mistake, you will appear before God. In whose righteousness will you appear? Yours? Oh no, not mine. I have none. I have none. Therefore, we who approach unto God are seen only in Christ. Therefore, we who are in Christ draw near. Draw near unto God with a full heart of assurance. Why? Because Christ has washed away thy sins. Because Christ has robed you in His righteousness. And the Father is well pleased with you who are in Christ. John said this, "Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Believer, when the day of judgment comes, that won't be any fear for us. Won't be any fear. And I'll tell you, we should not even fear now. I know you do. But you shouldn't. Why is that? Because as He is, so are we in this present world. How is He? How is Christ? Well, He's righteous. So am I in this present world. How is He glorified? Wow, so am I in Him in this present world. He is accepted, and so am I in Him. See that the very skin of Christ is upon us. The very skin of Christ. So that when God feels after me, you know what He feels? He feels His Son. So when I embrace my God and my Father, He may embrace me and say, "My Son, my Son." But there is a difference. Notice this in verse 23. "And he discerned him not because," in verse 22, "and Jacob went near to his father, and he felt him, and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are Esau's hands.'" See here, there's a picture here of the dual nature of the believer. He has been given the righteousness of Christ in the inner man, yet he still has the old man strung about his neck like a rotten corpse hanging off of him. He has the old flesh that still drags upon him, that brings him down, that casts his thoughts downward. But yet, he has a new man that looks to God, that looks to Christ at all times by faith. There's a struggle in his very breast that despises his sin and his nature and yet clings to God in Christ. Is that you? That's me. I know that's me. But it's Jacob's voice, yet it's Esau's hand. I have Christ's righteousness, yet I still have Jacob's voice. I still have Jacob's voice. The dual nature of man that is in us as believers in Christ. And yet notice this. Even at this, so he blessed him. Even in spite of this, he blessed him. Why? Because it was God's purpose and will. Because Christ had bought us and paid for us. Because Christ robes us in His righteousness, God can do nothing but bless us. Bless us. So then the question comes, are you my very son? Are you Jacob? Have you come to God in the very skin of Christ, by the very blood of Christ, and forsaken all else If you don't, that's your fault. If you do, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. He blessed him. And I say with Jacob, I am your very son. I am your very son. And as Isaac ate the meat, he blessed him. And you know what? He said, come near and kiss me. There is nothing I would rather do than kiss the face of my God and Savior. There's nothing in my heart that I want to do except feel His embrace in my heart. He is everything to me. He is my blessing. To be in Christ, there is no greater blessing. Because in Christ, we are accepted of God, destined for eternal life and glory. And even though we struggle in this flesh, we have this hope. One day, we shall appear and be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I pray that God would bless this. My heart's desire and prayer is that you are a son of God. That you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, you should give all the glory to God. Because He alone makes us sons.